we'll get started on this and get Will out of here. And Megan, you don't care about the Super Bowl, do you, Will? You didn't care. Forget that. Okay. Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your word. It's precious. Father, we thank you for your time here in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask that you anoint my lips according to Jeremiah, Father God, that I don't mess this up, I don't say wrong things. And Father, I thank you it falls on good ground. This is the most fertile ground that I know, Father God. And it will go in deep in their hearts, Father God. And it's not going to be picked away the first time something comes, Father God, because it's growing deep. And it's going to yield much good fruit. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about reverence. I was going to make this a two-part series, but I'm not. So this is all it in one little message. So to have reverence for something or someone is to have respect, admiration, appreciation, devotion, and honor. When we have reverence for the things of God, you position yourself to be blessed in every area of your life. So I want to talk about a few things, two things, that God reverences. So let's start with the Bible. The Bible's not just a book that tells us about God. It is His living word filled with God Himself. When we open it and reverently take it in, it releases His presence and His power within us. It's the most powerful, life-changing book on the face of the earth. Although kings have banned it, tyrants have burned it, and many have lost their lives as they fought to preserve it for the next generation. We'll give you an example. William Tyndale, known as the father of the English Bible, was strangled and burned at the stake. You're strangling and burning alive at the stake for translating the New Testament into the English language from the original Greek and Hebrew. His final prayer was, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." People have been tortured, strangled, and burned at the stake, hunted down, massacred by church authorities, and persecuted just to ensure that the scriptures were accessible to ordinary people. John Wycliffe died of natural causes, but his followers were hunted down and killed for reading his English translation of the Bible. And decades after Wycliffe's death, church authorities dug up his bones and burned them because his role in translating scripture. Even in 2023, a Bible translator was murdered while working to translate the Bible into an African tribe's language. When I looked up, there was thousands, many, many more. It really shook me to think that men and women reverenced the Bible so much to give their lives that eventually it would find its way to me. The Bible contains the mind of God, the condition of man, the way of salvation, the judgment of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its truths are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are unchangeable. We read it to be wise. We believe it to be safe. And we practice it to be holy. Our obedience to it is our highest responsibility. In 2 Timothy 3:16 is one of the most important verses about the Bible. Lauren, you got that? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for a instruction in righteousness. Now, many verses, the Amplified Classic in the New Living Testament says, all scripture is God-breathed. So you can say this, every bit and not one part excluded is given by it's given by God, inspiration of God. Every dotted I and every cross T is God breathed. 2 Peter 1, 20-21 tells us how God gives us Scripture. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from a prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by God, the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. The Holy Ghost moved on men. This is how we got the Bible. They begin to write what he had put in their hearts and minds. The Spirit of God breathed out truth over a span of about 1,500 years, and men continued to write until all scriptures were complete. I can't even imagine life without the Word of God. I can be going through something and find a scripture for that specific issue, take that scripture, believe it, speak it, receive it, and things change. Either I change or the situation changes. Scripture brings peace, wisdom, maturity, complete sufficiency, rest, healing, hope, joy, wholeness, answers, guidance, and correction. So in 2 Timothy, this is not Lawrence, in the Rick Renner's interpretive version, in 2 Timothy 3:17, this is how he puts it together in the Greek and interprets it. And we're talking about the scriptures, the Bible. In order that any person belonging to God will be mature and sufficient in every way, completely outfitted with all the spiritual gear needed to equip anyone to sail long distances, and though any type of spiritual storm or weather, it will enable anyone to bravely and nobly carry out all the good works that are needed to become a success in every sphere of life. That's what the Word of God does. And that's what it will do in our lives. Scripture is not just a book about God. God is actually in the Scriptures. So when we read and study the Bible, we will release his life, his power into ourselves, transforming us into his image. Lauren, you got John 1. John, there you go. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Jesus is the eternal Word. When the beginning began, the Word was already there. The Word existed before creation or time. He is the beginning of the beginning. The Word is the source of life. So no wonder it's hard to make time to sit down and read and study the Bible. It's our life source, and the enemy knows it. Let me tell you a tactic of the enemy. I heard someone say this. I didn't come up with this. Here is an insight to the enemy's tactics. The enemy's most effective strategy isn't corruption. It's occupation. He doesn't destroy your faith. He simply fragments your attention. And if the enemy can't make you bad, he will definitely make you busy. Not a reckless kind of busy, but a strategic busy. Amen? Busy enough to dilute your focus, but not enough to sound off an alarm. Distraction is more dangerous than sin. Sin shocks our consciousness, but distraction slowly numbs it. You don't lose God overnight. You slowly drift away from him, one obligation at a time. Prayer becomes rushed, reading the Word becomes occasional, and your calling becomes something you will get back to when life slows down. Busyness doesn't attack your character, it attacks your clarity. Whatever controls your attention eventually controls your direction. Choose focus over frenzy. The greatest threat to our faith is not rebellion. It is a life that is so full that there is no room left for God or His Word. Amen? Make sense? Mm-hmm. You can see now why God reverences His Word. The next time you sit down to read your Bible, think about the men and the women who were tortured and murdered so you could read it in English. Think about when you open it. It releases His power in us. It has our answers, and it's God Himself. God reverences His Holy Bible. Next, I want to tell you another thing God reverences. One of the most sacred places on earth is the Temple Mountain in the city of Jerusalem. The Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary of the temple. You guys know that there was outer courts, inner courts, and then the Holy of Holies. It was the place where the manifest presence of God dwelt. Priests and worshipers alike understood that going into the temple was a serious and reverent event. Never, it was life and death, never to be taken lightly. Today, right now, we are the temple in which the Spirit of God dwells. Give me 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. His very presence abides in each believer, making us His holy sanctuary. Think about that for a minute. Me and you, our bodies, a temple for the Holy Spirit, for His presence to live in. Think of the things we do, say that are not too holy. And all the time, He's there in us. That's a little staggering for me. When I get mad or I get irritated, He's still there. We are the holy sanctuary of the presence of God. Our bodies are relatively weak, fragile, and even defected in places. The Lord chose to deposit the inexhaustible riches of the Holy Spirit inside us. We are His holy sanctuary. Therefore, we must learn to be careful to honor and reverence God's presence in our lives. We take time to clean it up, spruce it up, paint it up, tattoo it, tan it, bulk it up, slim it down, dress it up, and show it off and try to hide as much as possible. All of those things to our body. But nevertheless, this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's be real here. What do you think it looks like and feels like to God, His presence in here, inside of us, when we do things in and to our temple, our bodies, that are not good? We have to have a clear understanding of who we are in Christ and keep ourselves uncontaminated from the things of this world. How we see ourselves is very important. We are not to think of ourselves more highly than others, but we are also not to think of ourselves as worthless. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God wants us to see ourselves the way He sees us. He's living here. Right now, He's living here and He's living in you. The truth is, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God sees us as saints. Oh yeah? Just go ahead and call me Saint Terry. It's okay. It's okay. Romans 1:7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't only speaking to the first century believers in Rome, but also believers in everywhere, in every generation. We are saints in God's eyes. That mess with anybody? Okay. Who said yeah? Anybody say yeah? Okay. I thought it was Alan. No, just kidding. Saint means separated, consecrated, holy, and sacred. Never again to be regarded or used in a common way. It indicates that anything holy is in a category that is separate and sacred from other things. That's why the Bible is called the Holy Bible. It's set apart from all other books. The reason he calls us a saint is because his divine presence has touched our life and forever changed it. His presence has not only touched our life, his presence has taken up residence in us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul asked this question to the Corinthian believers and to us. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, or who you have from God? You are not your own. Did I have two things to that, or just one? Okay, just forget. That's not where it was. So the temple is talking about, do you know, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple is a highly decorated shrine. He's describing us now. It is the image of vaulted ceilings, marble, granite, gold, silver, and highly decorated ornamentation. This is the most sacred inner part of the temple. It is the word used in the Old Testament to describe the Holy of Holies. Because you are a believer, you're God's temple. We are literally a walking, talking sanctuary of the living God. So have you ever seen a movie like National Treasure, or maybe even a kid's movie, or read a story where people were searching for hidden treasure? The location of the treasure is marked with an X on the line. Larn, you got that map? Just so you know what I'm talking about. See the X right there? In November of 1922, British archaeologist Howard Carter discovered the intact tomb of King Tut. When he walked into that ancient burial chamber, he saw vast treasures of the young king that was stored with him for centuries. Gold, and everything was made in gold. It was just awesome. And as immense and amazing as that discovery was, it's no match for the greatest treasure in the entire universe inside of you. As a child of God, you have a store of wealth so massive that its reserves can never be completely dug out, explored, discovered, or discerned. These are spiritual assets beyond your wildest imagination. Really, Terry? Yeah, really. 1 Corinthians 4:7. I've got two different versions here. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, or whom you have from God? You are not your own. And then the next version. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? I thought it read different than that. These 4:7. Okay. So I have given her the wrong thing. Wait a minute. Do you have one that says earthen vessels? Anyway, there's one that it talks about that he is in earthen vessels. I'm going to tell you about earthen vessels. In Greek was the kind of pottery that was weak, valueless, and full of defects. He related us to this. Paul did. These were bargain basement dishes in lower class neighborhoods who were bought by people who couldn't afford to acquire better stuff. They were cheap to buy and easily replaced. People loved them because they were so beautiful, and they could decorate them and make them colorful and hide their defects, kind of like slapping on some makeup. This kind of pottery was what Paul had in mind when he said earthen vessels, in which God has placed his treasure in our bodies, weak and fragile human bodies. Paul used the illustration of these cheaply made dishes to announce the location of the secret chamber where God placed his greatest treasure on planet Earth. It's inside of us. He didn't take into account that, you know, so-and-so is this, or he's not. He chose to put his presence inside of us. If X marks the spot The X is marked on us, hence the t-shirt. I told you I had to wear this jacket for a reason. It could read this way correctly. We possess treasure within ourselves, and not only do we possess treasure, but we are easily broken, inferior. Temporary bodies are themselves the treasure chambers where this amazing treasure is kept. Isn't that awesome? You're all going to be wanting one of these, aren't you? Paul used these Greek words to announce that the human body is the residence of the Holy Spirit. We are the hiding place for God's greatest treasure, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Even though in the natural you may seem weak, defective, and valueless, God has chosen you, your human body, as the place to hide his greatest treasure. When we sin and miss the mark of God's standard, and we all do that, one time or another, we can get discouraged and get down because we did not do this or we didn't do that or it coulda, shoulda, woulda. But God is never shocked or caught off guard by what we do or say. Psalms 139. Oh, nope, I didn't give that to you. I'll read it. Psalms 139, 1 through 4. And this is the New Living Testament. Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. It's not like you have to tell God what you do. He knows. So in spite of our weak, fragile, faulty frames and our tendency to make mistakes, this is what God will never bring against us. Romans 8:1, condemnation. Condemnation. Romans 8:33 and 34 says this. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? I love that. No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Even when life throws us difficulties, or we just royally mess up on our own, this is what he promises to us. Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. He has taken up residence here. Knows everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, through his holy, and his holy word promises through it all. All these promises are ours. When we act ugly, when we do things wrong, I'm staying
inside of you, and I'm not going anywhere. And nothing in this world will separate you or mine. Nothing in this world will separate us. You are mine. God reverences his word. His love letter, 66 love letters to us. God has a reverence for you and me. We are God's temple, the holy of holies where he resides. Where his spirit permanently lives. We need to constantly remind ourselves just who we really are. I was an old sinner, and I'm saved, but now I'm a child of the Most High God. Jesus, the Holy Ghost, lives inside of me. You just have to begin to say those words. We need to constantly remind ourselves just who we really are. The next time you take a good look at yourself in the mirror, at your body, don't cry. You know, whether you're there flexing or whether you're going, oh my gosh, where did that come from? Do this. Say this. I am the temple of God.
Holy Spirit, right now is residing in me. How we see ourselves and what we say about ourselves is life changing. Amen.